We're going to be looking at words that are appropriate, words that are fitting, if you would, words that are pleasant. And if you have your Bibles, the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, hope some of you will take up the challenge to go through and read the book of Proverbs. You can do one chapter a day and think on it and mark out, if you ever want to see how I've marked out mine with the letters I put by it so you can know what I'm talking about, to mark different things. Proverbs can be a very helpful book. But in Proverbs chapter 10 and down in verse 32, it says, "The lips of the righteous." And when it's talking about the lips, it's actually talking about speech, what they say. It says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." And we talked about frowardness. Frowardness talks about rebellion. You can tell that they're obstinate words. They're perverse words. But it says that when the righteous person speaks, he knows what's acceptable. Now you say, well, what is that talking about? Well, there's a time and place for everything. For instance, I was just thinking of some illustrations, and probably after your husband, if he works long days, if he works a 12 or 14 hour day, he comes into the house, probably the second that he comes into the house, it isn't time to give him a rehearsal of all the things that need to be repaired in the house as soon as he walks in the door before he has the supper. That's not particularly acceptable. And by the other hand, it's probably not acceptable after the mom has watched the kids all day and you don't know any kind of a day that she has. You walk in the door and you say, "What's for supper? I want to eat right now." That's probably not acceptable as well. I mean, there's scheduled times and everything, but and then there's other situations. You need to use your mind when you come into certain situations and ask the Lord to give you wisdom how to answer the situations. Every time that I come into a counseling situation, I always ask the Lord to give me wisdom and direction in the words that I speak, because there's a time to say things, there's a way to say things, and you try not to use your words as a hammer and to crush, as Job said, "How long will you break me in pieces with your words?" It's a challenge to us, but it's fitting, the right time, the right place, the right words. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12 now, and in verse 25. Proverbs chapter 12, and verse 25. And I found this to be true. The first part is talking about somebody who's really carrying a burden. It says, "Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop." Heavy-heartedness. If you would, you could say, depressed. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression or any of that sort of things, but heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. You're just burdened down. You can tell it on your countenance. But then look at this. But a good word. I looked up the Hebrew there. It means a kind, a pleasant word. Kind words, pleasant words at the right time when your heart is heavy can be a real blessing, it says. But a good word maketh it, that's your heart, maketh your heart glad. Encouraging words. I was kind of down recently, and a lot of things going on, and my wife said a few things that were particularly uplifting to me. She doesn't even know she said them, but they were an encouragement. It made my heart glad. And you can know what I'm talking about if you've been on the receiving end of that. You've been on the receiving end of that where you've been down, you've been burdened, and somebody speaks some cheerful words and tries to encourage you, that can be a real blessing. Let's move on to Proverbs chapter 15, and in verse 4, Proverbs 15, in verse 4. I think this is very interesting. It talks about a healthy tongue. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Some people don't have a healthy tongue. Their tongue is sick. And the reason their tongue is sick, because they have cutting words, they speak angry words, they speak foul words. That's not a healthy tongue. You know, when you get under the pressure situations, you can really tell what's in a person's mind, what's in a person's heart. It says, because out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. So when a person's under pressure, when one of the difficulties that I didn't like playing in church, we've got a number of trophies down in the basement for years. We played church league softball, church league basketball, and so on, but sometimes when we'd be playing these other teams, and I hope it didn't happen with ours, but it could have happened with our people, but you're getting a close call or you're getting a close game, and then the stuff that would come out of the mouths of people who profess to be Christian, that just ought not to be. You know, we can all dress up and look halfway decent. I was hoping I wasn't looking when I got my shoes. I was hoping I didn't have one wrong shoe and run the other shoe when I stood out here. But you can all dress it up and look pretty nice on the outside. That's not hard to do. However, if your mind is always thinking the wrong things, if you have bitter thoughts and angry thoughts, and if you have a foul mouth and foul language, you can dress it all up and you can look real good coming here, sitting to church, as long as somebody doesn't have to talk to you, as long as you're not in a difficult time. But then when the clinch comes, you can tell a whole lot about a person by the words that he speaks. So we just need to remember that and be sure that we watch our mouths. All right, let's move on to verse 23. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse 23, this one says this: a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now, I was pondering that and looking at that, and looked up all of the Hebrew words there, and basically what this particular passage is saying when it says a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, it's talking about a counsel that a person gives. When you give counsel to somebody, when you give somebody advice, if you would, when you give somebody advice, and that advice encourages or helps a person, doesn't it give you joy? It does to me. Part of the problem, sometimes you give people counsel and you know it's right, you know it's from the Word of God, but they don't want to do it. That's what happens to me a lot of times. I was working with a situation this week. I just had to pray, God, give me wisdom. I felt that there was a person that I know, and he was about to do something that I felt that he was going to regret, and he called me up again, says, well, Pastor, this is what I'm going to do. And I said, wait a minute. We talked about this three times we talked about this. Why are you going to go and do this when you know that you should not do this? Well, this person is putting the pressure on me. Well, I'll tell you what. As it turns out, I got a telephone call right after church. And the person told me on the telephone, well, Pastor, I took your advice. And that was a real joy to me, because I figured that person was going to make the decision and going to make the wrong choice. And then you know what happens to pastors. Pastors, since I've known this person for a long time, not a member here at church, but I've known this person a long time, have come back. But you know what? Then I have to help them pick up the pieces. And that just is no fun. But when you give counsel to somebody and they listen and it works. Man, that gives you joy. And I believe that that's what this verse is all about. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And then it says in the second half of the verse, and a word spoken in due season. A word spoken at the right time. The right time. It says, how good it is. You know, sometimes you can say things too early. And people will turn you off, brush you off. Sometimes you can say things too late. And then nothing can be done about it. But that is why it's so important, even in the little things of life. Even in the little things of life, you ask God's direction and wisdom, and you think through what you're going to say before you just open your mouth and spew it out. Usually if you open your mouth and shoot from the hip, you know what? It's going to lead to some problems. But a word spoken in due season at the right time, thoughtfully, how good it is. All right, let's flip over now to Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 24. In Proverbs 16:24, it says this. And it's talking to us about the effect of kind words. It says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. They say, I don't exactly get it. Well, just think about the opposite of that. What's the opposite of pleasant words? Angry words. Very angry words. Are angry words pleasant? No. I had the opportunity growing up to have my dad had a couple of hives of bees, so I know what honeycomb. I've actually eaten honey that's still in the honeycomb. I didn't like the bees. Didn't care for the bees. When my dad would go over there to get the honey out of the hive, my dad would dress up and he looked like something from Mars, but this little rover's running around. I guess there's no people on Mars. Anyway, they haven't found him yet. They're looking for him, but they haven't found him yet. But anyway, he dressed up and he had this big net he put over his hand, and he had gloves that he put here that had elastic here, and then he had arms that came down that had elastic here, and there was elastic in his pants. You know why? Because the bees know how to get in there, and once they get in there, the worst thing that can happen to you is you get a bee in your bonnet. I'm talking to you seriously. But anyway, he'd go over to the hive. He would take his beekeeper's tool and he would pry off the top of the hive. Usually he'd put a little sumac smoke in there to make the bees drowsy. That's what you'd do. You'd take the smoker and then he'd pull out this honeycomb. I couldn't wait. I was a little kid. It's before I was 7 years old, but I can remember. I couldn't wait till he'd get back to the house with this honey, because in the honeycomb, because he would cut some out and he would take one of the squares there and cut it out and put it right there on the table. And I was the first. I wanted the honey and the wax. There's nothing like the taste. I had some honey on my roll this afternoon, but there's nothing like the taste right out of the hive of the honeycomb and the honey spread on a piece of bread. Oh! I can't eat a lot of that today, but I'll tell you what, if somebody put that in front of me, it'd be a real temptation. I'd take just a little bit of it, because it does have a unique taste when you eat the comb and the honey. And that's what it's talking about. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. They give encouragement. They actually, I just want to tell you, you can't go around. You've heard me say this all many, many, many times. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's people who would look at this glass and say, man, pastor's doing all right. He's got a half a glass of water before he goes dry. And then there's other people look at that and says, oh, already half gone. I'm not going to make it. I'm probably going to start coughing and having problems here. There's some people who go in life that they're negative like that. Their glass is half empty their whole life. You know, they get a raise at work, And so they get a buck raise at work, and they wanted two. They get a good deal on buying their new car, but it wasn't good enough. You know, there's some people who go around just like that. And, you know, that is very detrimental to go around with a negative attitude, with no joy. It saps the joy. It sucks the joy out of your life. Bitterness, you could call it. Bitterness sets in. And you go around, you see these pickle-push Christians look like they sucked on 97 lemons. They don't have anything to be joyous about. How are you? Oh, and then they give you a body parts rehearsal for the next 20 minutes, you know. Well, I hurt here and I ache there. It's okay to have prayer requests. I'm not saying that. But if you go around with that negative attitude, you can cause yourself a trouble because it says this dryness of the bones. Well, here it says pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. When somebody speaks good words to you and uplifts you, I believe that that is literally healthy, literally encouraging. But if you go around all the time and your glass is half empty and you're always negative, and I think you got a problem. All right, let's move along as we go in our study here, and let's look at chapter 25 and verse 11 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, down in verse 11. This is one of the uniquest, richly illustrated passages of Scripture. I can't do it justice, but listen to it just as it is, and I'll talk about it just a little bit. It tells you what words can do that are spoken kindly. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Think about that. And the word pictures there, look up the word pictures. It can mean a frame, a basket. And a right word is so pleasant. Apple of gold. We have gold, my favorite apple in the world. And I've tasted a lot of them because my grandpa had a small apple orchard. And we had a chance to taste old-fashioned wine sap apples. We had a chance to taste Jonathan apples and Macintosh apples and Red Delicious apples and Greening apples. And he's got a plaque. There was 101 kind of apples or something on that. So we got to taste. But my favorite one is the Golden Delicious apple. That's a good eating apple. That's a good cooking apple. It's good for a lot of things. And apples, indeed, if you're not an apple connoisseur, and I don't know that I'm an apple connoisseur, but I've tasted a lot of apples, apples do have different tastes. One of the ones I didn't like, but I'd always get over there and try it, was one of Granddad's early apples. Boy, you bite a big hunk out of that, and you would pucker. I tell you, it was so tart, there's tart apples. Whoop! Just thinking about it makes my, you know, saliva glands go. But you look at this, a kind word, a word spoken at the right time, in the right place, under the right circumstances, what a picture. It's like apples of gold in a frame of silver. That's quite a picture. Now, it has nothing to do with it, but there is another picture right in the verb, right in the verse after this. It says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon the obedient ear. There's lots of good pictures in Proverbs. All right, moving along, I want to look down at verse 15. This is a very interesting one, and Abigail's a good illustration of what's being talked about here. It says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded. Patience, going over to him again and again and again. But that's not really the portion of the verse I want to look at. I want to look at the last part. It says, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. If you were to look, and I'm just going to describe it and not have you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. You'll remember Abigail. And Abigail was married to a son of Belial. That's what he's characterized as. Nabal was his name. And David and his men came and just kindly ask if he could have some things to eat. He's willing to pay and everything. And Nabal was rude to David and his men, and he cursed them. And David said, you know, if I don't wipe them all out by tomorrow, you know, you can get after me. And what happened was Abigail got word of what her stupid, idiotic, foolish husband did. And you know what she did? She rode right away, right out to David, because David was going to slaughter Nabal and all of his perverse workmen. And she lit off of her horse. She jumped off of her horse. She bowed down to David and spoke softly and said, you know, I apologize for my husband. He is a son of Belial. Please don't bloody your hands in this matter. And because of her soft tongue, it says a soft tongue breaketh the bones. She was humble. She pleaded kindly with David. And you can think about what you want to think, but God ultimately slew Nabal himself, so David didn't have to, and then David ended up taking Abigail to be one of his wives. But nonetheless, by the way that Abigail answered, she spared her husband and the servants who were with him from being slaughtered by David. King David also, you remember the row that David and Saul had. Now David could had been anointed to be the king of Israel, and he could have really just gone ahead and wiped out Saul. You remember in that study he went there and he cut off the bottom of his garment. He could have done that, but David was kind and soft with Saul and let God do things in his timing. And so when you come into difficult situations, there's a time, certainly, where you stand up strongly, but there's also a time, as God gives you wisdom, to have a soft tongue and be humble. And it says that a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Well, there's a couple other passages of Scripture. I'm not going to go on this next week, but over and over again in Proverbs, we're enjoined to use words. We're urged to use words that are true. Let's look, for instance, at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17, it says, "He that speaketh the truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." God expects us to speak the truth. God expects us to speak the truth. He expects us to speak the truth graciously, but He expects us to speak the truth. And while we're looking at that, just slip down to verse 19, because He says it again in verse 19. It says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment." One of the great national sins of our nation today is lying. We have lying commercials. We have lying executives. We have lying politicians. I hate to see the elections coming. Somebody said figures don't lie, but liars figure. And you'll see all the way they spin all these things to tell you part of the story. And one of the national pastimes in all the political ads is all the lying that goes on both sides, on all sides, and it just makes me sick. Who's ever doing it? And lying seems to be acceptable. I read a poll about how many cheat and lie in school and on the little things. It's way up there in the high 70%. And yet that's not what the Word says. It says the lip of truth shall be established forever. And then I want to look at one more. This is the last one. Words that are carefully chosen. There's at least four times in Proverbs where it says, choose your words carefully. Proverbs 15:28 is one of those times. And if you don't have this marked in your scripture, I think it's a good thing to mark it. It says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. I believe that it's best to have your mind in gear before your mouth is in motion. I believe you need to think carefully about what you're going to say before you say it. Because words, once they're out, friends, once those words are out, you can make all the pleas, oh, I didn't mean it. Well, you meant it at the time you said it, friend. You meant it at the time you said it. And there's been times in my life I wish I could have pulled those words back in and pulled them right down and tucked them away and locked them in a closet and never, never have said them. So use your lips rightly and choose your words carefully. And make sure that they're appropriately timed, that they express wisdom, and as often as possible that they bring encouragement, but to be sure, they should always be truthful. So that's the end of this series that we've done on the tongue.